What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Morning Drive ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson here. Hour number three on a Thursday edition as week number... What week are we now in the NFL? Week 12? Holy cow.
Insane. Yeah, week 12.
It goes by so fast, even though technically it goes by at the exact same amount of speed every single year. Matt Miller joining us here from Bleacher Report at NFL Draft Scout, one of the best in the business, one of the best follows there, one of the best reporters. Matt, thank you so much for joining us here on the program this morning. And obviously a story that you sort of got out there floating around yesterday caught a lot of people's attention here in Nashville, and that is Philip Rivers would be interested, and I think, quote, love the idea from you there about playing for the Tennessee Titans. How realistic do you think it is that Philip Rivers does not re-sign with the Chargers?
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on. I think that's becoming more realistic. Like 12 weeks ago, if I had heard this rumor, and I do want to stress, like the headline of this, like it is a rumor that's kind of floating around out there, but that's how these things usually get started, is you hear the same rumor from enough credible people, and you're like, oh, okay, there might be something to this. So I think if 12 weeks ago you had told me, hey, Rivers is going to leave as a free agent after this year, I probably would have been skeptical, because like we've heard that before. I think this year has been a little unique in that the Chargers are not playing well. They're also playing to like 20,000 of the opposing team's fans every time they're at home. You know, there's been the controversy about where this team's going to play, what's the future of this franchise. And I think you also have that we've always heard, like, that Rivers wants to get back closer to his roots, which is Decatur, Alabama, which is like an hour and a half south of Nashville. So this, the timing lines up better now than it did. Like, I remember hearing this like 3 years ago that, hey, toward the end of his career, he'd probably like to get back, you know, closer to home. There would be some intrigue there, some interest. And I think now we could see, you know, the Chargers are played poorly enough. They might be ready to draft the quarterback of the future. And one thing I've always heard about Rivers is he's not interested in being an Eli Manning to someone's Daniel Jones or an Alex Smith to someone's Patrick Mahomes. When the time comes for the Chargers to draft a quarterback in the future, he would just like to either retire or go play somewhere else.
Yeah, I can understand that. And a guy that basically hasn't missed a game since becoming the starter of the L.A. Chargers, you know, and the prospect of him going to another team just doesn't seem right, doesn't look right. But it happens to the best. I mean, Joe Montana ended up playing in Kansas City, and Brett Favre ended up leaving and going to play in Minnesota. So it happens. But what do you think the likelihood of it? Because it seems like he has a good relationship with Ken Whisenhunt. It doesn't seem like Ken's going anywhere. It could be, may not. But do you think they will try to make an effort to re-sign Phillips and still, you know, eventually draft a quarterback, because they have to, because Phillip has maybe 2-3 more years, but eventually draft that quarterback to be his successor?
Yeah, that's where I really thought that this would be headed, is that they would have a nice little sit down after the season and say, we would like you to retire as a member of the Los Angeles Chargers. You know, you're going to be a day one team Hall of Famer. So let's figure out a 1 to 2 year deal, you know, player option for year two, player club option, whatever it might be. But we're going to have to draft somebody. And I think for Rivers, like, that might be the sticking point, because look at the guys he was drafted with. Eli Manning's been forced out. Had Mason Rudolph not played terribly, we could have seen a situation where Ben Roethlisberger was forced out because of injury. So I think, like, you're also getting to that point in the career where you have to say, okay, do I want to compete with a first or second round pick at quarterback? And with the way the Chargers are playing, that might be a top 10 pick. So do you want to compete with that, or do you want to take your 9 kids and go back to where you're from and get, you know, this is a dude who doesn't even live in L.A. You know, he's being bussed, basically, you know, from San Diego to L.A. every day. So I think the quality of life situation is something that a lot of us aren't going to think about, but it factors in. And not even like, just think about money. You guys know there's no state income tax in Tennessee.
Yeah.
That check is a lot different than paying state income tax in California. So when you're getting to the end of your career, where you maybe only have a year or two of starting quarterback salary left, I think that's an intriguing option that Rivers and his agent, and if he becomes a free agent, that the Tennessee Titans can say to him of like, you know what, you know, it is different, but we're going to get you closer to home. And even if we pay you the same thing the Chargers are paying you, that's more money in your pocket. So I think there are a lot of intriguing selling points for the Titans if it does get to a point where there's a little contention between Rivers and the Chargers.
Well, yeah, I'm mistaken. Ken did get fired, so maybe that's another reason why, you know, his stay in L.A. Might be short, because he did have a good relationship with Ken. And now that Ken's gone, maybe he's thinking, you know what, I don't want to deal with another offensive coordinator here. I can just go somewhere else.
Yeah, writing's on the wall. I mean, there's going to be big changes there. I don't think we see Tom Telesco or Anthony Lynn go anywhere, but there's going to be changes. And regardless of if Rivers is back there next year, they're going to be drafting a quarterback at some point. So it is. It's going to be – so there's so many wild subplots to this upcoming offseason. Brady's a free agent. Brady's a free agent. Rivers being a free agent is just another layer of that. And it almost hasn't gotten the attention it deserves, because I think we all do just expect those guys to go back to where they've always been. But like you said, yeah, I grew up a Niners fan. I remember watching Jerry Rice play for the Raiders, and it broke my heart. But it happened. It's very rare for a guy to start and finish his career on the same team.
Matt Miller joining us here from Bleacher Report at NFL Draft Scout. And listen, we all know 15 or 20 million will go a lot further in Decatur, Alabama than it will in Los Angeles or San Diego. There's no question. You could buy the entire city or six ranches or whatever you want. You know, keep your primary residence in Nashville. You know, you want to keep that state income tax. I guess the question I have, or the problem I have with this entire equation, is that all those same things you're talking about with the Chargers, as far as sort of, you know, coaching stability, coordinator quality, there's a chance that the Titans may be drafting a quarterback next year as well. What do you make of the Titans' future at the quarterback position, and how does that impact Rivers' decision? But also just the Titans' quarterback position. Are they going to be able to get after Ryan Tannehill and re-sign him to a bridge deal? What is the right strategy for John Robinson?
Yeah, it's tough, and I don't envy John in this situation, because there are a lot of different directions you could go. I mean, Mariota obviously been benched. He'll be a free agent. Tannehill's going to be a free agent. And I think one thing that has happened with Tannehill as the starting quarterback is you guys keep winning games. And by doing that, like, that's great, but you're also putting yourself out of the quarterback race, especially now with Tua Tagovailoa's injury, putting a little bit of a spin on this quarterback group, where before it was like, okay, Joe Burrow and Tua are going to go top five. Justin Herbert goes top 10. Now, I mean, we can see Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert go top five. And then Tua being such a wild card, such an unknown, I think that puts a lot of teams that thought, okay, we'll draft a quarterback this year. I mean, some of those teams are going to get left out, because I think one thing that we won't see John and Mike do is reach for a quarterback. So I feel like this is a duo that works well together. But they also understand that, like, even if you bring Ryan Tannehill back, that's at best a bridge deal, like you said, to where you're probably looking at Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence next year with the hope that maybe you can, you know, package enough picks to get up there while remaining competitive enough to keep your job. And so I think the Titans are in a tough spot, because they're a good team. It's not a bad football team. They're too good to draft a quarterback early, but they're bad enough to probably not make any noise in, you know, a playoff run with the Colts and Texans being so good in the AFC South. So they're almost stuck in that quarterback purgatory of, we're not bad enough to draft one early, but we're too good, you know, to make the run here. So it's tough, guys. I think that if it were me in that chair, I would be exploring every option. I would be in no hurry to sign Ryan Tannehill to a bridge deal, because I think guys like that aren't maybe, you know, common, but they're easier to find. You know, if Tannehill decides to go to the Chicago Bears, well, you might be able to get Andy Dalton. You might be able to get Cam Newton. You know, there are going to be other options out there. But I think you have to fixate on, you have to almost stack a board of, what are our options for the quarterback position? And if they feel like Phillip Rivers is a gettable option and the top option, you got to exhaust every avenue to try to make that happen. If they feel like, hey, we think if Cam Newton's healthy, that's our guy, then you have to attack that with the same, you know, kind of aggressiveness. This is the quarterback that we want, and set up your contingencies after the fact, because where they're at in the draft order right now, you're not getting a great quarterback. It's just, it's not going to happen, or not a great quarterback prospect. You know, drafting at 17 overall, you're really stuck in that bad position of maybe Tua's hip is just bad enough to get him to fall, but good enough that, okay, we can sign Ryan Tannehill to a two-year bridge deal. We basically redshirt Tua for a year, try to get his hip health. We rule him out as a starter in 2021. I mean, that's certainly a possibility, but there's a lot of risk involved there.
Matt Miller joining us here, and it's right in your name on Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout. You just mentioned Justin Fields. I was surprised to hear you mention him along in the same breath as Trevor Lawrence, who feels like he'd be the number one pick this year, last year, next year, whatever. Give me a quick sort of synopsis on how you evaluate the tiers of quarterbacks, both in this upcoming draft class 2020 and the following year in 2021. I know a lot's going to change, but as you see it now, from Herbert, Hurts, Burrow, Tua, Lawrence, Fields, just sort of, is there clear-cut guys atop the list for you?
Yeah, there is. You know, this year it would have been Burrow, then Tua, like neck and neck. Tua's injury, you almost have to remove him from your board until we know more. I would put Herbert in that next tier, like a tier two for this year. Tier three is Jake Fromm. It's Jacob Eason. I would not put Jalen Hurts in that tier yet. I think he is below that with a guy like Jordan Love. Jamie Newman at Wake Forest, they're kind of tier three guys where I'm intrigued, but I, you know, there's just something there that they might have a question mark, that like Jake Fromm, really smart, really accurate, but he lacks physical tools. So you know the weaknesses there. With the other guys, I'm still doing a lot of evaluation to try to figure out exactly where they stack. For next year, it is Trevor Lawrence as QB1. I'm intrigued by Justin Fields. I think he's a tough evaluation, especially right now, because that Ryan Day offense is so beautiful and so perfect that he's not asked to throw a lot of challenging balls. I really want to see what he looks like in the college football playoff when we see him against better defenses, better corners. You know, this weekend against Penn State will be a decent test for him. Michigan the week after that. But the next four games are pretty big for evaluating Justin Fields as we start to head into next year.
That's amazing. We're talking about a couple of games in a kid's first season as a starter as being massively important for evaluation. Yep. For a draft that's going to take like 24 months from now take place. Matt, always a pleasure, man. Great information. We do appreciate it here on Morning Drive at NFL Draft Scout, one of the best follows on Twitter. Thank you so much, dude.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Absolutely. Matt Miller there from Bleacher Report. A lot of insight on Phillip Rivers there. So we have a lot to digest and react to, so we'll do that when we come back. Let that one wash all over you there, Nashville.
Yeah, soak in it.
Soak in it, and then we'll come back with our thoughts on this. Man, a lot of stuff there from Matt Miller. Great, great interview with him. All right, we'll be right back. Morning Drive. So there's a lot to react to there from Matt Miller. I heard the phrase Andy Dalton, and I started having convulsions in the studio.
You almost fell out your chair.
You just signed Mariota back at that point. Like, I don't want Andy Dalton. No disrespect. I'm sure he's a wonderful guy.
When I talk about how wonderful, we're talking about the play.
Yeah, a lot of stuff to dissect there, and a really interesting strategy for John Robinson from Matt Miller that I think we're going to get into here in a second. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. But Marquise Munson would like, by the way, was that Brittany Howard?
That was Brittany Howard.
Oh my God, that album is so good. Is it Jaime or Jamie, the name of the album? I think it's Jaime, but
I think it's
I
mean,
know.
It's spelled like Jamie, though, so
yeah.
I think it's Jamie.
I don't know how to say it. That is a spectacular album.
But one thing I do know how to say is Monday Night Raw is headed to Bridgestone Arena. Ooh. December 2nd. Come see Seth Rollins, Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch, and the phenomenal AJ Styles. That's how he does it. The phenomenal AJ Styles.
Be the hype man for Marquise, man.
Styles. Come see the Raw roster. Head over to Bridgestone Arena. December 2nd. Monday Night Raw.
Raw.
That's what the crowd.
December.
If you're going to do it raw.
Oh, my God.
Just be caller 5. 615-737-1025. Just be caller number 5. Win a pair of tickets to see Monday Night Raw. December 2nd at Bridgestone Arena. Just be caller number 5. Shout out to teammates with this hype, man. Just be caller 5.
Okay. But, I mean, it's the truth. It's the truth. Monday Night Raw. If you're going to watch it raw.
Stop.
Stop. My, It's Monday Night Raw. What are you guys talking about? It's Monday Night Raw, okay? Wrestling.
Monday night use protection. All right. So Matt Miller tells us the strategy for John Robinson. That's what I heard, and I liked it. I liked what I heard. He said, listen, if I'm John Robinson, I am in no hurry whatsoever to make any moves in any direction on this. And any particular mentioned, I do not be in a hurry to give Ryan Tannehill a contract. And we've also had, and I didn't have a chance to ask him about this, but I just don't think there's much truth to it. We've heard also these kind of very loose rumors about Tom Brady as a free agent being connected to the Titans. Obviously, Mike Vrabel and he played together for a long time. There's plenty of Patriots ties. We know how New England South sort of works here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of free agents out there. Again, he mentioned Andy Dalton, and I fell out of my chair a little bit. I'm like, no, please, God, no. But there are some free agents available. There are going to be guys in the draft available. Mm-hmm. I don't like anyone really past Joe Burrow, to be honest with you. I think Tua is great if you get medical clearance from him.
Yes.
But otherwise, I'm not giving up everything to go get Jake Fromm or Justin Herbert or Jalen Hurts or Jordan Love. Jamie Newman's a really nice player at Wake Forest. He's not going to be a big-time pro prospect, in my opinion. He's a very good athlete. I just don't see much outside of Joe Burrow that I am willing to mortgage the farm on. Which means you're probably going to have to sign a quarterback, which means take your time. I like the strategy. I think that's a smart move. You don't have to be in any rush here, unless, of course, all these guys, it starts leaking out that all these guys have already picked their destinations, right? Like, if the Chargers announce re-signing Phillip Rivers, or if the Patriots announce an extension for Tom Brady, all of a sudden the list gets smaller, then maybe there's a rush to get a guy. But right now, there's no hurry.
Okay, if you're looking at, and you're right, I love the premise of, you know, not rushing into things, not trading up to force yourself to get said quarterback. If it's not, you know, Joe Burrow, then, you know, because of what Tua's going through, then you sit and you wait, because I think Herbert and Fromm and those guys will be there if indeed you're picking middle of the pack. You know, middle to upper, you know, high sort of, you know, that 12, 13, or if you're picking, you know, 17, 18, 19, I think that's where the Titans will be, somewhere in that range. But do you, because I'm looking at Jake Fromm, is he more Aaron Murray than Matthew Stafford? College quarterback, like a great college quarterback, but
I think
Matthew Stafford has a strong arm, great quarterback at Georgia.
Cannon.
I mean,
like one of the strongest arms I've ever seen.
Unbelievable. But he was better than Aaron Rod, better than Aaron Murray.
Oh, man.
So is Fromm in the middle, or is he more Aaron Murray than Matthew Stafford?
I think he's in between. And I think it's really interesting that you use those two guys, because I think Matthew Stafford, from a talent standpoint, like a pure, you know, combine, you know, measurable standpoint, is as talented a quarterback prospect as you're ever going to see. Five-star kid coming out of high school in Texas, goes to Georgia, only plays 3 years, number one overall pick, because he could throw the football literally over those mountains.
Uh-huh.
Like, he could throw the football a quarter mile. He is one of the strongest arms I have ever seen, like Jamarcus Russell level strength of arm. Aaron Murray never had the NFL measurables, but had a hugely productive college career.
Exactly.
It got them to within a down 5 yards of the national championship. I think he's the all-time leading passer in SEC history. But he's, you know, and again, I've worked with him. He's a little undersized. He'll tell you all this stuff, right? Like, it was a foreign language when he got to the NFL. It's not like he's not a smart kid who works hard, but he just didn't have the talent. He just didn't have the arm strength or the size or the ability. And Fromm is somewhere in the middle to me. Mm-hmm. He's not as talented as Matthew Stafford, but he's far more talented than Aaron Murray. The arm is the one area of concern. We talked to Jordan Rodgers at SEC Media Days, and he was like, I don't think Fromm has an NFL arm. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he's got everything else. He runs an NFL-style offense where you have to throw the ball from the pocket. He's largely been extremely efficient during his career, although the last couple of games he's been like under 500 as far as completion percentage, but he's a 3-year starter, and they've won the division all 3 years.
winner. Is this a guy in this Tennessee Titans offense, if indeed they're going to move forward with Arthur Smith, they signed Derrick Henry back, is Jake Fromm you know, say if they sign a bridge deal with Tannehill or any other, you know, quarterback just to have that bridge deal 2-3 years, is from the guy that can sit, wait, and because this offense relies so much on what Derrick Henry does, he can actually fit.
It fits his system.
It fits what he does.
I mean, that's what they did at Georgia. They run a pro style, you know, play action, run the football, tight ends. Like they run it. You're right. They run a very similar scheme to what the Titans would run and how they want to live offensively from a philosophical standpoint. My question is he talented enough to be 17th overall pick, 18th mm-hmm. overall pick, 20th overall pick, whatever it may be. It's a bad reason not to draft a guy because he came from the same school. I just don't see the Titans touching Justin Herbert. I personally think there are flaws in Justin Herbert's game, but I think there are flaws in Jake Fromm's game. I don't think Jordan Love is good enough to – he's out of Utah State, really nice player. Don't think he's good enough to be a first-round pick. It almost feels like Tua like Jeffrey Simmons because he falls because of the injury. Mm-hmm. It almost feels like he might be worth the risk at like 17, 18, 19, 20, somewhere in there if he falls.
And then you can sign that quarterback to a 2-year deal and let him sit.
And then you really can let him sit because there's multiple reasons to let him sit. A, he needs to – just every quarterback could benefit from sitting potentially, but also the injury. To me, it's Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence in each of the next two drafts, and I don't really know if I want anybody else. Because what are we talking about here for the Titans? We're talking about trying to find the star, right? Mm-hmm. We're not trying to find, you know, Vince Young or Marcus Mariota or a guy who's going
to
last you a couple years or one contract
or win some consistency.
Marcus showed you can win 9 games. Marcus can win you 9 games. Ryan mm-hmm. Tannehill might win you 9 games this year. Guys can win you 9 games. Who's going to win you 12, 13? Take you to the Super Bowl. Jake Fromm and Justin Herbert aren't going to – I'm not putting my Super Bowl eggs, you know, Herbert's basket.
You're absolutely right. If I'm the Tennessee Titans and if I believe Tua clears medically, I'm drafting him because what it allows for me to do is to let him sit. And in this new NFL, you can draft guys – back-to-back years because it's not costing you a lot of money. You can draft a quarterback back-to-back years, and he's not going to take a huge – that's what the Cardinals did. They drafted – you know, they drafted the kid out of UCLA.
Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen, yep. And then turned around and draft Kyler Murray, I think a year or two after. So you can do it in this new NFL. You're not stuck with that guy.
Yeah, they also had to fire the coach after 1 year.
Exactly.
I mean, that was a.
But you should understand. You can.
You
do
also
it.
And
it
you
hi-
and
done.
You hired a coach who was fired from his alma mater after going 5-7. Like you can do it. I don't know if it's going to win you anything. I do like Kyler Murray, the player, though. I don't think he's going to win with Cliff Kingsbury as his coach. I think Kyler Murray can be an exceptional talent. Like mm-hmm. he's got a lot of ability. But it's just I just don't see why people look around at this draft class and go like, well, these guys are significantly better than Ryan Tannehill or Marcus Mariota. I'd much rather go the veteran route with Phillip Rivers and see if you can go down that path. Even if Rivers' arm is deteriorating, I still think it's a smarter move. So we'll see. Interesting stuff there. Again, if you missed the interview with Matt Miller from Bleacher Report, he was the one who broke the news yesterday that there's a lot of Rivers that would quote, love to play for the Titans. That story coming from Matt Miller. You can go back and catch that interview. If you miss any of the show, we've moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify or log on to thegamenashville.com. Find our daily audio, rate, review, and subscribe. You can go listen to that interview. I would suggest doing so if you're a Titans fan. A lot of college basketball news last night. Huge NCAA ruling on the Memphis controversy there with James Wiseman. We had a little dust-up with Jerry Stackhouse last mm-hmm. night and the Battle of the Boulevards. A little college hoop. Vols won last night as well, so we got some college hoop for you when we return right here on Morning Drive. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall.
Do not disrespect the great J. Cole.
What was I doing? What did I do, guys? What was I disrespecting?
Just your facial expressions during this.
What's that noise that's happening right there?
It's the beat, man. It's terrorizing. That's what they're doing to the rap game. Terrorizing the rap game.
Oh, that's what's happening?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Right. That's what that part's for.
I'll take your word on it.
It's very Halloween themed.
I'll take your word for it. It is, actually. That's a good point. It's very Halloweenish. Grammy-nominated theme on the program this morning from Marquise. College basketball last night. Belmont beats Casey Lipscomb in his Battle of the Boulevard debut against his former team. Beats David Lipscomb. Belmont beats David Lipscomb 73-67 last night. So congratulations to Casey Alexander. Belmont, always one of the best sort of, you know, basketball highlights of the year for people of Nashville. So love that game. That was in Allen Arena. Also, Jerry Stackhouse yesterday with a little dust up with Austin Peay. Was it the handshake line where he's in the handshake line?
Yeah,
they shook hands,
and then all of a sudden, I guess Austin Peay's coach said something to Jerry Stackhouse that are along the lines of, and then Jerry Stackhouse responded with, "Don't tell me how to coach my team; you coach your team."
Man,
is it because there was a dunk at the end of the game? Is that all it was? Saban Lee had a dunk, and that was it.
Yeah, because
like
coach started pointing at the court, and then Jerry Stackhouse like he snatched his hand away a little bit and was like, "Hey, don't tell me how to coach my team; you go coach your team." And then I was like, ooh.
Here's all I know. First of all,
I love it.
Stack played like that as a player. You know,
he did.
Temper, not a temper, but like fiery. Let's call him fiery. Passionate.
Passionate.
Here's the deal. Like, if it gets people talking about Vanderbilt basketball,
why not?
I mean, I think, you know, sometimes these coaches can act like grown adult babies, but they get a little too sensitive in the moment. Like, a guy dunked, oh my God, with no time remaining, who cares? And then the Austin Peay coach gets all, you know, worked up, and then, you know, Stack is getting all worked up. But guess what? We're going to talk. Otherwise, we would not talk about a Wednesday night victory for Vanderbilt over Austin Peay would not be a story, except for now it's a story. So, again, same thing with Penny Hardaway bringing attention to his school. If Jerry Stackhouse is doing things that causes attention for people to pay attention to what he's doing at Vanderbilt, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, but is it wrong attention, though? Because obviously it's Austin Peay. It's a smaller program. He's not doing this to a Power 5 SEC coach.
Yeah.
He's doing this to a smaller time coach, and it kind of makes him I'm not going to say a bully, but I mean why are you picking on Austin Peay's coach?
It looks like you're punching down.
Yes,
is what it looks like.
Well, I mean, yeah, in a sense, but you know, we don't know what was said, but listen, any news, if it's not, you know, bad, but little
right,
confrontations
like this,
it's good for Vandy.
It creates drama.
It's good for Austin Peay, you know, because you ask the Austin Peay coach, well, what happened? Why did Stackhouse, you know, had a few choice words to say to you? Stack, what did the Austin Peay coach say to you? You know, I mean, it's all good from Vandy's standpoint because we're talking about it. And I'm pretty sure there are other people that saw the game and saw the exchange. They're talking about it as well. And what they're missing in all of this is Aaron Naismith, the freshman point guard. He scores 26 points. Scottie Pippen Jr. has a career high in 21 points. So these are the things that are sort of missing. You have two guys that could potentially – you know, or three that can potentially have this program back to winning, you know.
They were up by one at halftime.
20-plus games. But I think
that's why Stack was frustrated.
Yeah, probably
so. Because his team didn't play well in the first half.
Slow.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I think you have a few guys on his team that are able to, you know, lead you to where you want to be or want to go. At the end of the season, you want to make the tournament. You want to put yourself in a position to win the SEC tournament first and then get yourself in a position to be one of the 64, 66 teams.
68 teams
in the college basketball sort of playoffs. So, you know, and missing in all of that is those two guys that scored over 20 points for this program.
And they're 3-1 now. Tennessee moves to 4-0 last night with a pretty easy and rightly so victory over winless Alabama State, 76-41. But the big story in college basketball was also nationally right here in the state of Tennessee, which is James Wiseman, the potential number one overall pick in the NBA draft coming up, playing for Memphis, is suspended for 12 games because of the money that Penny Hardaway gave his family to move him when he was still in high school. He's been suspended 12 games, but also has to pay back $11,500, donating it to charity, which essentially makes it a college basketball fine. The NCAA is essentially fining James Wiseman in this situation, but you're not going to let him work. So he cannot work a job. So he cannot generate revenue for himself. He's not allowed to make any money off of his name, image, and likeness, even though I'm assuming a shoe company was paying his AAU team boatloads of cash, I'm assuming, because we know that's what's going on. And you know, who knows where he goes and gets $11,500 if his family needed that money to move to Memphis in the first place. The suspension is what it is. It follows the rules of the NCAA rule book. We can argue about the rules and hate the rules. They're stupid and antiquated and blah, 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 blah. But the suspension follows the rules, so you can't really argue too much about the suspension. The fact that Penny Hardaway is not going to face a single bit of punishment on all in all of this, because he's the one who
and he's
sort
the
of,
catalyst to all of
he's
this.
He's sort of the one that's the wrongdoing here, is convincing this family to move to Memphis and then helping pay for it. The family, I don't blame the family. I definitely don't blame the young man. There are adults. You are a freshman in high school. You are not supposed to be the deciding factor when there are adults in the room all around you.
Here's the crazy part. He didn't get the money.
Right.
The kid didn't get the money. Now, obviously,
maybe he got a couple
benefit
seconds.
Is his family moving to Memphis. So, you know, there in a roundabout way, he did get it, benefit from it. But he didn't get it in his hands. He wasn't able to go out and buy things he wanted. To what we know and are to believe, the money was given to move to Memphis. It was the moving cost to Memphis.
When he was a freshman in high school.
Exactly.
It's not like you pulled up to the campus with a Hummer, Reggie Bush.
Exactly. But,
why would anyone drive a Hummer anyway anymore?
You notice
there's not a lot of Hummers anymore?
Well, good.
Good, because they were terrible.
Disappearing.
They were terrible.
But, the H2s disappearing.
But he, in all of this, to my knowledge, Penny Hardaway walks away scot-free. And I'm not advocating for him to be punished or anything else, but what I'm saying is that if anyone should be punished, it should be the head coach, because he knew exactly. Now,
he wasn't the head coach,
but you knew he was sort of aiming for
booster.
That job.
Yeah,
exactly.
Of course. And he wanted the job.
Absolutely.
We knew
so
it was coming.
If anyone should be sort of punished or suspended or made to pay money back, it should be Penny Hardaway. And I'm pretty sure if you put Penny in front of all of those, you know, the committee, he would say, you know what, I'll pay it back. Suspend me for 10 games. I'll be fine. But let James play.
Right. And listen, James is going to be probably the number one pick in the draft. So he's going to make a fortune coming up in June or whatever next year. So he can go get an $11,000 student loan or something, or a loan from a bank, and, you know, pay it back with relative ease coming up in June. But not everybody's that fortunate. I just have a problem. I find it to be hypocritical for the NCAA to say, on one hand, hey, we're going to fine you essentially $11,000. You need to pay it to charity. But on the other hand, I'm not going to let you acquire income in any possible way. Like that just doesn't jive with me. And that is why the name, image, and likeness rule is going to change. And that's why that rule is coming down the pike at some point, is we're going to get the ability for these young men and women to, you know, monetize and market themselves when their earning potential is at its highest. And, you know, again, James Wiseman will be fine. He'll make a boatload of cash in less than a year. But, like, that's not the point. The point is you're finding a student athlete who then you don't allow to work and make revenue. And so it just doesn't jive with me.
If he needed the money to – if his family needed the money to get there – how then is he going to get the money when he can't work?
Yeah. And if he gets it from somewhere else, it's not a student loan or a sort of a legal channel. Uh-huh. It's just going to be a booster anyway.
Absolutely.
Like, and Chase Young at Ohio State, it happened while he was dealing with agents while he was at Ohio State. So there's a bigger – and he's suspended two games too and has had to pay that money back. Who knows where he got that money?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't as much money, but who knows where he got that? Like, did he just come up with a couple $1,000s on his own? Mm-hmm. Or, again, maybe he had it in the bank. I don't know. Like,
see, now James Wiseman's going to have to go through the whole foundation of, let me hold five. Let me hold five. He's going to have to walk around campus. Hey, bro, let me hold five.
I think he'll have plenty of $5 handshakes if he wants them.
Exactly. This asks every college student for a dollar or so.
No, I think you can just walk up behind the bench during a game, pass out a cup offering plate, just pass it down the first, second, third, fourth rows of the bench, behind the bench, where all the boosters sit.
Can he do that, like go around and just asking college students for a dollar, just a dollar.
Pass the hat.
Just give me a dollar. That's all I want, a dollar.
The James Wiseman lemonade stand.
There we go.
$36 a cup. I got to get to 11K, boys.
No,
come
on. I charged $1 a cup.
Yeah, you're going to need to sign. You need to sell a lot of lemonade.
I know.
Just don't put salt in it.
Exactly. All right.
All right. Stick to sports when we return. This is Morning Drive. Morning Drive. You're listening to Morning Drive live from Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Isn't that the number one most popular song of all time?
Yes.
That is
yes,
insane.
That is.
That is insane that is the number one most popular song of all time. Actually, I love it. I love everything about it in America right now. That's the greatest, most popular, most successful song in the history of music in this country. Love everything about
and
that.
And everybody try to say it wasn't country. You know, it don't need to be country. Guess what? I'm my own entity now.
But there's no genres anymore. There's no all this music like just crosses over into like three different categories.
This song
except for mainstream country pop, which is garbage.
Yeah, so shout out to all those country people that say that's not country. Guess what?
No,
nominated
country.
For the Grammys. He's nominated for Album of the Year for the Grammys, and he has the most popular song of all time.
Of all time.
So
damn, that's great.
There you go.
Most popular song of all time.
A kid that was probably working at like Burger King or something.
All time.
Now all of a sudden is
have
the
we mentioned
man.
How popular that song was?
Very.
Yeah, very popular.
Really, really popular.
You know what else is popular?
Stick to sports.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now on Morning Drive.
And stick to sports is brought to you by Decorating Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorating Den. When you are men, single men, I'm talking to you, but all men really, but single men, I'm talking to you. When you're ready to decorate your home, office, or outdoor spaces, request a complimentary appointment. There's a bunch of men moving to Nashville. So if you don't have that special person, even if you do have that special person, go check out Bonnie and Decorating Den. Here's the website, decoratedden.com. Check them out.
Number one.
All right. When I was in school, my favorite time of the school was PE and cafeteria food because I liked lunch and I liked to go to PE. I didn't like anything
else. Pizza Friday.
Pizza. I had nacho.
The rectangles?
Yeah. Mine was nacho Friday.
Yes. The big tray.
In elementary school, in middle school.
Pizza.
Oh, ours was Pizza Friday. The big tray. Of,
oh, yeah.
You had two options. You had cheese. Or the pepperoni, but the pepperoni were like a little small little...
Exactly.
The little nuggets. They weren't like actual pepperonis.
None of it was real.
Rectangle pizza, baby.
So a school in Georgia had a little incident in their cafeteria because there was a food fight started over a comment about chicken wings to where a employee of the school, a cafeteria lady, sometimes cafeteria food's not that good, but I never thought as a student I should fight the cafeteria lady. But that's what one senior did at this school, fight the cafeteria lady. Cafeteria lady obviously fought back, and there was a brawl between a cafeteria lady and a student. Both were charged and arrested with disorderly conduct.
Hoagies and grinders. Hoagies and grinders.
So. Why are people...
Sloppy Joes. Okay. Sloppy Joes, yeah.
We're not... This is it's not Armageddon. It's not the end times where everybody's scrounging for food. It's just not Doom or what's another one of those movies that it's the end of the day. Why are we fighting over food?
I mean,
why?
I can just imagine. Yo, these chicken wings trash, bruh.
Is there a bone in it? That's all I care about. If there's a bone in it, then it's a chicken wing. If it's not a bone in it, I wouldn't eat it.
I wouldn't trust like chicken wings at a cafeteria, though.
But still, why are we fighting?
Yeah, over
chicken wings.
We fight over everything. Why are you surprised?
We fight over Popeye's chicken sandwiches.
We're fighting because I
it's
say
chicken. Because it's fried chicken.
The chicken wings are not good. So we're gonna fight. We're gonna knuckle up and fight. Oh, okay. Stop the fight. What are y'all fighting over? They said the chicken wings wasn't good.
How did this get started, you two?
The chicken wings wasn't good.
Man, the chicken wings
he insulted
trash.
My culinary skills and expertise.
Lunch lady, man. I never just thought in my mind, like, hey, this square like pizza is cold, so I'm going to just fight the cafeteria lady.
Exactly. That's the most random thing ever.
We are so terrible at feeding our children at school. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, you got a point there, but still. Stop fighting over chicken wings, people.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, don't get me wrong. Chicken wings are pretty important, but not in school.
Yeah.
So I just have Adam Sandler playing in my head right now. Hoagies and Grinders. You remember the Chris Farley skit on Saturday Night Live? Lunch Lady Land? You really don't remember that?
No, I don't. I don't.
God bless me.
I wasn't a big Saturday Night Live guy.
Yeah, I wasn't.
I was
more Matt TV.
I've sang like four of those lines during the segment, and I don't think either one of you gets the reference.
No, yeah. I don't.
Yeah, we don't. So stop it.
Apologies.
Are you done talking back there, or are you going to get to number two?
Yeah, I'm going to get to number two.
Number okay. two.
Thank you. Sorry. I was a little distracted there. All right. Now, it sucks.
He's back there just socializing.
No, I'm not socializing. That was business. But
okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
One thing I hate is when certain people hold up traffic because they don't know how to drive, right?
Oh, God.
But
this is something I would fight about.
Yeah. But if you're driving in traffic on a golf cart, that's even worse.
Oh, wow.
And that's what your boy, DJ Khaled, did. In Miami, while smoking a cigar, holding up traffic, riding around in Miami traffic in his golf cart, smoking a cigar. Someone filmed this, and I couldn't play the audio because there's people cussing at him and using a lot of F-bombs.
Rightly so.
Exactly.
And rightly so. But all he did was, as soon as one of the cars passed him, he just held up the cigar and gave him a peace sign and kept him moving. DJ Khaled, holding up traffic with his golf cart and his bad music at times.
DJ Khaled, man, sometimes, you know, just because you are famous doesn't give you the right to do what you want to do. And that is one of those situations where driving in a golf cart on a highway or a street, knowing that the speed limit is X miles per hour and you're going at least 10 miles or slower.
Wasn't Miami where Justin Bieber like got pulled over doing like 160 in a Lamborghini or something one time?
Possibly.
Didn't he get busted? Like, is it what is it about L.A. and Miami? I guess that's where all the rich, famous people live.
Rich, famous, crazy people.
They just think they can do whatever they want.
I guess so.
Now here's the problem. I don't think it takes a rich, famous person to get like that. I think there's a lot of bad drivers, just like regular old people.
No, you're right.
In Nashville, that just don't know how to drive. There's so many little things that just drive me insane, and I have to like really calm down in the car.
If that chills you out, something's wrong with you. I think he did it just for attention.
DJ Khaled does a lot of things for attention.
I wouldn't be surprised. He wasn't the one who got locked in an elevator. He was without gas on his jet ski, right? Like out in the middle of the ocean.
Oh yeah, I remember that one. Good Lord, man!
I feel like he's got his buddy right behind him with like a boat, and he's just doing it for attention.
Pretty much so.
Yeah. I like DJ Khaled sometimes. Some of his music is okay.
Y'all need to listen to Lunch Lady Land. That's all I'm saying.
Who?
Lunch Lady Land?
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Who is that?
That's Adam Sandler, man. That's the Lunch Lady.
Okay.
Y'all don't even know about Adam Sandler.
I know about Adam Sandler. I
can't believe y'all.
But I don't know about Lunch Lady Line.
Uncultured heathens.
Did he do anything from Billy Madison at all?
Uncultured heathens. Is Chris Farley Adam Sandler? Okay.
Not really.
All right, Joe Rexford, when we come back.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.